Good morning.
Good morning.
Can everybody hear me okay? Good. We're done. Today, if you can open your Bibles to Romans chapter 14, we're going to be taking a look at verses 14 through 23. And I titled this, Love, Do Not Grieve Your Brother. And Paul has been talking about those who are weak, and that's weak in the faith, and that while they may not fully understand or choose to live in the freedom that we have in Christ, they should not judge the strong. And the strong, in return, should not despise those who have issues or conscience objections to certain non-essential things and do not fully understand or maybe even practice the freedoms. There were issues at that time with the Gentiles eating meat because it was sacrificed to the idols, and they didn't feel they should eat the meat. So they didn't eat the meat to glorify God. But those who were stronger ate the meat, but gave God thanks and glorified God for it. There was the issues with the Jews who obeyed the dietary laws and the laws, the Mosaic laws, the laws of the Sabbath. But they had complete freedom in Christ. And we finished in verse 13 last week of chapter 14, where he says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So don't try to stumble our Jewish brothers by offering them non-kosher food. Eat with them what they eat. Don't cause a brother to fall by insisting he obeys the laws of the Sabbath or keeps Jewish traditions. They are free from that in Christ. Focus on Christ, for we are his, as Paul mentioned earlier in verse 4. He said, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. We'll read through these verses, and then we'll pray. Starting in verse 14. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we just give you thanks for this place to meet, and thank you for this time of fellowship that we have, Father. And Lord, as we go through these passages in Romans, when Paul's been teaching us, I ask you to open our hearts to hear it. And Lord, that we would apply it in our lives, practice it. And Lord, that we would be seen as a church, Father, that loves our brothers and sisters in Christ, that it would be obvious. Lord, be with us today as we go through this. And we thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Recall in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 11, Jesus told the people, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. So what you put in your mouth and you eat does not defile you. Peter at Joppa, when he was staying with the tanners up on the roof and had that vision in Acts chapter 10. And in verse 13, I pick up, and a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he's looking at this tablecloth with all this food on it. And it wasn't kosher food. Okay, it was of the hoof and foods that the Jews could not eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now, he was going to be sent to the Gentiles, and God was preparing him for this. But Paul here is convinced by his Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself. Now, either Paul had that direct revelation from Jesus, or maybe from Peter talking with him, or the other disciples and what they had to say. But he knew, he was convinced. And this thought applies even if that meat might not be kosher, according to the Jewish dietary law, or if it had been offered to idols. Thinking through some of this, I thought how the enemy will use this later on to separate us. And, you know, I ran across this verse. And it says, and this was Paul when he was writing to Timothy, and he wrote that in later times many will depart from the faith, giving ear to deceiving spirits. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he starts off, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. At some point in time, we're going to be told not to eat certain foods. Kind of a prophetic statement. And I can recall, you know, back in 2022, there was a big issue with cows, and when they burped, the methane gas and everything like that. PBS News, March 6, 2022, cow burps are a major contributor to climate change. They were looking at getting rid of cows or doing something with them. The Telegraph, 27 April 2022, Prince Charles backs face masks for cows to help save the planet one burp at a time. This is what they were trying to sell people. Now, I haven't heard a lot about this lately. I think most of it is probably passed under because a lot of people didn't buy into it. But the UK went through a lot of nonsense with this stuff. An article from Great Britain dated 11 March 2025. Farmers to be forced to sell land at a fraction of its value. Now, really, what it is Parliament's looking at decreasing the price of farmers' property when they buy it so that they can build houses on it and do whatever else, basically taking away from the ranchers and the farmers. We have a lawsuit that's still in play today with the American Farm Bureau Foundation, other groups challenging the lawfulness of the Bureau of Land Management's public land rules, which threatens the future of ranching in the U.S. by destabilizing a decades-old tradition of grazing on federal lands. The DOI.gov, U.S. Department of Interior, finalizes framework for future of solar development on public lands. Basically grazing lands, 31 million acres where they want to put up solar panels. We don't know what's going to be happening in the future. But it could be we're being set up for a shortage of beef. Could be that we're being chickens, obviously bird flu and everything else we've been going through with all that. So at some point in time, we could be commanded or told what we can eat. And it could be by pricing alone. But back to Paul's initial point. Here, give thanks to God for what you have, as nothing is unclean unto itself. And that does include, if you recall, a while back they were talking about feeding bugs, manufacturing bugs, and making burgers and stuff out of them. And they actually started putting crickets in some foods. Give thanks to the Lord. You can eat it. It's clean. And remember, though, that to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And Paul referencing a person's conscience here. If because of the upbringing of the person, previous experiences, maybe someone just can't bring themselves to believe that they can participate in eating or drinking something, then they should follow their conscience and not consume it, for it would be unclean to them. Even if the facts seem to show that it is okay to participate in something, and even if other mature Christians confirm that it is okay for you to do it, but you just don't feel that it is right, then it is wrong for you. Now, I'll put the disclaimer in here. This principle only applies to disputable issues. These are topics on which Scripture and teaching of the apostles does not take a position. In other words, murder, adultery, stealing, to name a few of the sins, are always wrong. So our conscience should have the last word about whether we will exercise a specific freedom in Christ, and through that, giving honor unto the Lord. Because that's what it's all about. Whether you partake or not partake, giving honor and glory to God. In verse 15, he goes on, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Now, for those of you who are enjoying their freedom in Christ, we see Paul telling us not to flaunt our freedom while claiming to love their fellow Christians. Specifically, he says we must not, for the sake of food, destroy someone for whom Christ died. In other words, those who have a faith strong enough to allow them to eat meat and participate in other disputed activities must not demand their freedoms at the expense of their siblings in Christ. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we should not force our freedoms or what we believe we can do on those who do not see it as appropriate. Those who feel it is wrong to eat meat, celebrate on a certain day, and so on, whatever it may be. Those weaker in their faith and understanding of their freedoms, you do not want them to speak evil of the good and the thanks you give unto the Lord. So if you don't worry about it, you celebrate every day to the Lord, and you try to push that on somebody who believes it's just Saturday or it's just Sunday, they will probably speak evil of you, and you don't want that. Paul gives us here the reason why. Because the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. You would think it is, based on what you see in our country, churches within the U.S. always having potlucks, fellowship around food, gatherings around banquets and stuff. We do that. So we see that the kingdom of God, though, is about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not about the food. One cannot get into the kingdom unless he is born again. Jesus talking to Nicodemus. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is about righteousness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The righteousness we have received through our belief in Jesus Christ, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, in verses 17 here, and I'll read a few of these. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. We receive God's declaration that we are righteous in his eyes because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Through this, we experience both the peace and the joy because of God's Holy Spirit within us. We see that our place with God is secure. It brings that emotional stability and confidence. And the world should be able to see our peace and our joy in the Holy Spirit as it is an outward sign of our belief and trust in Christ. So when all this nonsense is taking place and going on around the world, we already know it's going to happen. We've been told. We don't know all the details, but we have all the foundation. We trust in Jesus Christ, so we know we're going to be where we're going. We just don't know the time. For those who insist on fully and verbally expressing their Christian liberty, I would ask, why'd you come to Christ in the first place? For the food and drink, or for the real benefits of participating in the kingdom? For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. When the focus of those of the strong is on serving Christ in what matters, the result is the approval of men and doing what is acceptable to God. In other words, when those of strong faith insist on doing what is wrong to a weak Christian, the result of what is good ends up being spoken of as evil or being blasphemed. So we need to be flexible. When I was in the Navy, I was told to not lock my knees when standing at attention. What would happen, I guess it cuts off the blood flow and you could fall on your face if you pass out faster, or whatever it is. So remain flexible. Keep your knees bent a little bit. Be ready. Recall, every knee is going to bow. Be flexible when you are with a vegetarian and they don't eat meat. Be flexible with those who want to observe special days. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. And this is kind of a huge thing we should be doing for one another, pursuing the things which make for peace and edifying each other. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 23. He said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, well, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for your conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks, or to the church of God. Give no offense, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. As a stronger Christian, be willing to bend, to be flexible. He's urging here those who are strong in faith to be willing to set aside their open exercise of their freedom in Christ. If necessary, to keep from harming the faith and obedience of those who are less strong. It's easy to do. And this willingness to defer our own rights, to set aside our freedom in Christ for the sake of others, is itself a service to Christ. It results in peace and encouragement for everyone. And that's what we should be doing. Thus, if you love your brother, do not grieve him. Set aside your freedom in Christ when necessary. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. Now he lets us know, as the stronger in faith Christian, not to tear down or destroy the work of God for the sake of food. We are those Christians with the stronger faith. We need to be willing to give up eating meat, even though we are free to eat it. Especially since our sacrifice will build up and unify the church instead of dividing it and tearing it down. And this can relate to other things as well, such as our dress or appearance. You know, I usually wear a nice shirt and nice pants when I come up to teach because I don't want to stumble anyone. But there are those who would say, wait a minute, you're not wearing a tie. You know, you're not wearing a suit. You're not wearing dress shoes. But our looks are not what matters, when in reality it is my heart, your heart, that is what matters. And women have the same issue. Some men, some women will stumble over the way other women dress. In 1 Peter, where he addresses the wives, he says this in chapter 3, verse 3, Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Amazing. And we all understand that culture changes. You know, blue jeans, bell bottoms, skirts, mini skirts, even food, waffles. Now you get waffles with chicken places. You put chicken on the waffles, put the syrup on that. Coke, new Coke, Coke. There's a lot of things in culture that change over time. Dress, appearance, all of it, hair, styles. And we have to deal with these challenges sometimes in church. In 1928, Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, he was an American Christian pastor, was speaking at a Pennsylvania conference, when on one of the days two women came up to him